Well, good morning, everybody. Now, the first thing I must ask, is everybody hearing me okay? Seems to be a little bit of a mic problem today, and sometimes I know that maybe standing here, the voice doesn't carry so well. So can you all hear me if I speak like this? Okay, we'll do very best then to get through the service. If you're wondering as well, after Wednesday, if you're wondering why my mouth has healed up so quickly after that surgery I was due to get, I'll tell you after the service if you want to know what happened. Let's come to the scripture then as we begin this morning. Let's hear the words of Christ, actually, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Let's read these words. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Amen. We've got our opening hymn. It's going to be up on screen just now. It's Glorious Things of the Are Spoken. It's well known to us, Glorious Things of the Are Spoken. Let's rise and sing together. To worship the Lord, let's pray together. So, Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the measure of health and strength and soundness of mind that you grant to us, enabling us to gather in this fashion. Thank you for those who are joining us online as well at this time. We do hope that they'll soon be able to join us in the fellowship here too, but we thank you for these measures that we've got just now and that we've had for some time, Lord, to be able to worship you in this fashion. And Lord, we just simply worship you this day. Keep us faithful to you. Thank you for who you are, the great Almighty God. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, the Son of Man, who came to not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for the many. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, but was without sin. And yet he who knew no sin became sin for us and gave his life for sinners at the cross at Calvary. And if we truly repent of our sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the joy of assured salvation. But there's no other way of salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, Heavenly Father. And we're called to take up our cross, to repent and believe, and to follow you. Cleanse us of our sin. Cleanse us of our failings, our pride, Lord. Forgive us our many sins and failings. Restore to us the joys of your salvation. Help us to walk closely with you and be filled with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Bless the ongoing work and witness of the fellowship now and in days to come. And we just pray you'll continue to call a people in this town, a community, a people for yourself. And we do pray that the word will be preached faithfully in the town and community in days to come. Lord, we gather today. We just know there's a number of people known to us, close to us, Lord, who have had some major issues, health issues, Heavenly Father, and people who are laid aside for different reasons. And you know what's been happening, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you'd speak to different people, wherever they may be at this time, whatever their state of body, state of mind, may they know your presence, Lord, and that you are ministering to them, we pray. Just let them know your presence at this time. So, Heavenly Father, help us. Thank you that we can pray for each other. And Lord, we just thank you that we can lift up people to you. Thank you that you do indeed hear and answer prayer. So, Heavenly Father, bless our time together. And may we know a real sense of your presence in our midst. Speak afresh from your word. Will we be look at what may be a familiar passage of Scripture? Pray that you'd speak afresh and teach us more from the great truths of your word, we pray. Speak to us afresh from your living word. So be with us this day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, to our second hymn. It's coming up on the screen just now. Thanks, John. Thanks to Anne as well for playing this morning. It's another old favourite. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. It starts, of course, "Who can cheer the heart like Jesus?" So let's once again rise and sing together.
Thank you.
Now, before we read the Bible this morning, just a couple of announcements to remind you of. The online midweek prayer meetings have started again, so that's 8 o'clock every Wednesday evening. You're most welcome to come and join us for a time of prayer. That's online in the Zoom, on the Zoom meetings. And next Sunday, God willing, Robbie will be back with us, and the communion, the Sunday evening communion services will be starting at 6 o'clock next Sunday evening. These will be every fortnight. So do, again, join us on Sunday evening for the Lord's table. Okay, let's read the scripture this morning. It's the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1, we'll read the whole chapter together. So Daniel chapter 1, as I say, we'll read the whole of this chapter together. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and of course the words are up on screen. We read these words there, Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And they brought him to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's place and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days, let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. Well, let's sing a hymn in response to the scripture then. And of course, this is one ties in nicely with the theme of Daniel. So it's Dare to be a Daniel. I think it was commonly thought this was maybe a children's hymn, but I don't think it's that at all. I think it's for all of us, for all ages, standing by a purpose true, hearing God's command. The chorus goes on to say, dare to be a Daniel, a dare to stand alone. Let's rise and sing before we look at Daniel this morning. Let us pray together. God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We do pray that you'd speak to us from your word. Teach us by your spirit that be glorified in our midst. This day we pray. And bless our faithful preaching of the word throughout the town and community, indeed throughout our land this day. We pray for the spread of the gospel and for the good of your people and for the building up of your kingdom in this land and indeed further afield. Speak afresh from your word this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine being uprooted from your home, from your surroundings, and from your whole lifestyle at just 14 years of age? Having worked a lot with children and teenagers for the last number of years, I know that many of them struggle with change. Well, could you, and maybe it's not just, of course, younger people, is it? Older people can struggle with change too. But imagine then being uprooted from your whole home surroundings at just 14 years of age. Daniel was only a teenager when he was deported to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar with the first group of captives from Jerusalem. He was one of several young men chosen to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were his friends and his prayer partners. In fact, we see this when you go into chapter 2. When the crisis comes, we see that Daniel went, in 2:17 and 18, Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they hadn't been given those names just yet, but they were his friends and prayer partners. Daniel sought to serve God wholeheartedly. In fact, so did his friends. And you'll see here in chapter 1 that their faith would soon be put to the test. Chapter 1 records a series of incidents planned to destroy Daniel's and his friends' spiritual growth, to blunt the edge, if you like. But remember as well, behind the scenes of this world, remember there's an ongoing battle, a spiritual battle. Paul says to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, Satan didn't want Daniel and his friends to make an impact. Satan didn't want Daniel and his friends to be salt and light in Babylon. The devil has no new tricks. 1 Peter, well, we're looking at 1 Peter just now, of course, regularly in the church, and we'll soon get to the verse in 1 Peter 5. It says this, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that's what we see in Daniel chapter 1. You'll see it as well ongoing in the book of Daniel, but you certainly see it in Daniel chapter 1. The devil is trying to make Daniel compromise and blunt the edge. Take the edge off his faith. What we see in chapter 1 is that Daniel and his friends become conscientious abstainers, and they prove that holiness of life and purity and faithfulness does pay. Let's look then at the opening verses of Daniel, the book of Daniel. See first of all the challenge that the men faced, the challenge that these young men faced. You know the popular expression, don't you? When in Rome, you do as the Romans do. Daniel and his friends were expected to adapt or to fit into the Babylonian culture. And you can see different ways, different things that that happened to them in order to try and get them to conform to the Babylonian way. What happened? First of all, they had a change of names. You see it in verse 7. Now, please excuse me if I do pronounce these names wrong. But you see, Daniel gets called Belteshazzar. Hananiah is called Shadrach. Mishael is called Meshach. And Azariah is called Abednego. Change of names. Now, there's a significance here in the change of names. You see what the Babylonians are trying to do here. The name Daniel means what? God has judged. But the name is changed to Belteshazzar. May Bel protect. Bel being one of the Babylonian gods. Hananiah means God has been gracious. But Shadrach means command of Aku. Aku, A-K-U. Mishael means who is what God is. That gets changed to Meshach, which means who is what Aku is. And Azariah means God has helped, but Abednego means servant of Nebo. Now Bel, Aku, and Nebo were Babylonian gods. So was this a triviality? You see what, was this a triviality, changing the names? What's happening here? They were seeking to diminish the young men's testimonies. Now that you're in Babylon, forget that you belong to God. Fit into our ways. When in Rome, you do as the Romans do. Of course, the Roman Empire hadn't been established up at that time. So when in Babylon, you'll do as the Babylonians do. Fit into our ways. Don't be different. The same thing happens today. The devil seeks to undermine the difference between faith and unbelief. So they get their names changed to try and blunt mar the testimonies. Second thing you'll see that happens in Daniel chapter 1 is they get a Babylonian education in verse 4. Okay, the king was looking for youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them, you see this here, to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. So they get a Babylonian education rather than being taught from the Hebrew scripture that they had. They learn the Babylonian literature, they learn the Babylonian science and history, and no doubt they got the Babylonian RE lessons as well. Okay, you've got, this is what you call indoctrination, which I suppose we would call brainwashing. Seeking to get these men to accept the standards of the world round about them, rather than the word of God that they had, the Jewish laws and the scriptures, rather than the word of God. And trying to get them to forget about the true and the living God. Trying to get them to forget about how God dealt with the nation. Trying to get them to forget about the Exodus and the Red Sea crossing and the settling into the promised land, and how God had dealt with the nation down through the years, and what the prophets had taught them. Trying to get them to forget all that. How often is it now that when we're faced with a moral issue or a religious issue, we are inclined now to accept the common view or the popular view of society today rather than doing what God says or what God wants? Are we like that? That we're more inclined now just to go with the flow and accept what culture has been teaching us, what the media has been teaching us, and culture has blunted our spiritual edge? Has that happened to us? That's what they were trying to do to Daniel and his friends. Indoctrinate them. Put these messages to them. Get this. Teach them these things. The Babylonian way. The culture of the day. Trying to blunt their edge, the spiritual edge. Take it away from them. See what's happening then. They get a change of names. They get a Babylonian education. And thirdly, they're given Babylonian food. In verse 5, you read that the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years. Okay, so there's the education again. And then they would have to stand before the king. They get Babylonian food. This will be the crunch issue, as you'll see in a moment. This is the crunch issue. This is where the line gets drawn. This food was dedicated to false idols, and this food involved praying to a false god. And also the king was seeking to give them a taste of pleasure and to spoil their usefulness. So you see what's happening here? They're trying to take the edge of Daniel and his friends. Forget about what it was like in Judah, and your past life and what you were brought up to believe. Forget all that now. When in Babylon, you do as the Babylonians do. This morning, we've got a call to Christians to be salt and light. What does our Lord Jesus Christ say about this in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." All right, so the Babylonians were trying to get Daniel and his friends to lose their saltiness, if you like. "You are the light of the world," says Jesus. "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The Babylonians were trying to put the light out. We've got a call to Christians. We've got a call as Christians in the 21st century to be salt and light. Salt of the earth and light of the world. Accepting, following the ways of God's word. Not the ways of the culture and the media that surround us today and influence us. We've got to stick to the standards of the Word of God. Keep to it. Following the example and being conformed to the pattern of who? God's Son. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we read these words. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. There's the call then to be salt and light and to follow the example and keep to the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. See then, first of all, the problems or the challenge that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were facing. But I want us to move on now and consider the stand that they took. The stand that they took, and you see that in verses 8 to 16, the stand that they took. Now I said that the food, okay, they got the Babylonian education, they got the change of names, but it's the food that's the crunch issue. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Why did they turn the food down? Why did they turn the food down? Well, it was not because of the Jewish food laws. Let's understand the history here. Why was the nation in exile? Why were the Jewish people in exile? It had come about because of their sin, and in particular, the sin of idolatry. They had abandoned worshipping the true and the living God. They were guilty of the sin of idolatry. And the godly remnant stood out because they refused to participate in it. So the four men would not go along with it now. Now people might say, as they look on at these men, and people might say to them about Christians today, aren't you being extreme? Aren't you being a bit bigoted here? Aren't you being ungracious, unkind? Aren't they being extreme to do this? People might have looked at Daniel and his friends and be thinking, well, aren't they putting their lives in danger? Could they be saying as well, are they not passing up an opportunity here? Whatever it cost, they would be faithful. We are called to be salt and light. Whatever it cost, these men are going to be faithful. The church needs more people with this spirit. Dare to be a Daniel? His character, he was already standing out. His character had already given him favor with the chief official. You see in verse 9, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs, okay, the chief official. And this man, the chief steward, the chief official, would have been worried about his own safety. You see in verse 10, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. Okay, he would have been scared for his own life. But you see how Daniel responds to him. Daniel said, no, I'm not taking this food. This man's, the chief steward is thinking, well, if you don't take that, and if you're not well as a result of that, then this is going to come back on me, and my head's going to roll. Daniel responds with a very wise answer, tactful but firm. Okay, good pastoral, a good pastoral response, if you like, tactful but firm. Verse 11, then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Daniel takes his stand, a wise response, firm but gracious, tactful. He doesn't give up. He doesn't compromise. What's the outcome? You can see the stand that they took, and you can see in verses 15 and 16, they did not suffer. Okay, these men who did not take the king's food, they did not suffer. They had an improved complexion. They were doing well physically. No one lost out by their refusal to compromise. No one was offended. The officials' fears were over. Let's just pause and think for a moment, though, as well. This was the crunch issue, the food issue. when they took their stand. Why did they not, let's just go back for a moment and think about this, why did they not object to the name change and the education, the Babylonian education? Well, these things didn't affect their faith. These things didn't affect their worship of God. These things didn't affect their testimony. And that's a lesson for us. There are some things in our church and as Christians, there are some things we can let go. But there are some things that we must never compromise on. They are the non-negotiable things. There are some things we can agree to differ on. Maybe, for instance, people here and other Christians that we know have got different views on the second coming. Some are, and I hope you know what these terms are, premillennial, some are postmillennial, and some, like myself, I'll say, are amillennial. Okay, so it's just a division in three ways. We all agree that Jesus is coming again. There is a second coming, but we might agree as to the exact outworking of it. Might disagree, rather, as to the exact outworking of it, how it's all going to happen. But we can still have fellowship with one another, as long as we are agreed that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his people. These are things we can agree to differ on. Version of the Bible. You might be sitting there with your King James or your NIV, and I've got my English Standard Version and the New Living Translation. There's a young fella here a few weeks ago who read from the New Living Translation. So again, as long as we agree the Bible is God's Word, okay, I think we can come and go on which Bible translation we use. And there's other things which we can maybe come and go on, agree to differ on. However, some things you hold on to always. They are non-negotiable. Key Christian doctrines. The truth must never be sacrificed. Key Christian doctrines and key Christian ethics. Okay, Christian doctrines. Sin. We are all sinners. We've all, we've all gone away from God, our Heavenly Father. God is holy. We are sinners. We have failed God. We need salvation. Jesus Christ has come. God, Jesus Christ is God's Son. We can't, never get away from this truth. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's the only way of salvation. The atonement, the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection, salvation through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the key truths of the Christian message. We must never compromise on these at all. Truth and love go together. Truth must never be sacrificed. There's other things I'm sure that I could refer to also. But these are the key Christian truths. And if we compromise and give up on these in any way, then the work of the gospel will be affected. Repent. Jesus Christ said, I've quoted the passage at the beginning of the service, repent and believe the gospel. Sadly, this message isn't being preached in churches today. The word repentance has gone out to the pulpits. Christ says, repent and believe the gospel. That's a non-negotiable truth. And there's many, many others. So there's some things, I hope you see what I'm saying this morning, some things we can agree to differ on. Other things, though, you hold on to at all time. Key Christian truths, and also some key Christian ethics as well, involving things like marriage relationships and whatever. But you can see the stand that they took. They would not compromise. Their worship of God was not going to be affected. Their testimonies were not going to be affected. And I want you to see this as well as we close. The blessing they received. You see that the challenge they faced. Okay, we want to blunt your edge and take the edge off your faith. You see the stand that they took. No, we're not going to compromise or give up our faith in God. Our worship of the true and living God will not be affected. See the blessing they received. In the closing verses of the chapter, God honored them. God says, they that honor me, I will honor. You see how God stirred up gifts in them in verse 17? God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Have you ever found, in your own Christian experience, have you ever found that when you put God first and acted in obedience to him, that he gave you the ability to do a work, It could have been a work administration, working with children, working with young people, giving you different people skills for the situation, and so on. Have you ever also found that he gave you a good standing in your work and in your daily life? You act in obedience to him, he will honor you. You can see as well that when they appeared before the king, what happened in verses 19 and 20? The king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. So when they appeared before the king, they were better than the other students, better than all the other students. They were now in an influential position. For how long? We were told at the end of the chapter, the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel was in a position of influence for 70 years. How about that? You think of a politician that was ever in an influential position for 70 years? Maybe Churchill would have been the... I don't know exactly how long he was... in politics for. Could you imagine 70 years of Boris Johnson? Nicola Sturgeon, would you like that? Well, anyway, I won't ask for answers, but the Daniel, the man of God, who wouldn't compromise, he was in an influential position now for 70 years. In fact, Daniel and his three friends will remain true to him. You notice how they took the stand for God when they were in their youth? I said that they were uprooted from their culture. Daniel was uprooted from his culture when he's 14 years old. Well, I would say if you come in contact with any young Christians, then encourage them. Give encouragement to young Christians, certainly. And even though, looking around, and myself included, we're past the stage of youth, let's just remember this. You're younger now than you ever will be at any other point now for the rest of your life. So, if you want to be influential for God, take the stand for him now. If you haven't been doing so, take the stand now. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it will flow the springs of life." When it was a choice between God's word and the king's food, these men chose God's word. They were faithful in a small thing, and that would lead on then. They were faithful in small things, so you see that as you go on in the book of Daniel, I'm sure you're very familiar with the different stories in the book of Daniel. They were faithful in small things, so they were able to cope with bigger things, such as a fiery furnace and a lion's den. But if Daniel had failed, and if the four of them had failed now, they might not have been so effective later. This victory led to others. What does the old hymn say? Each victory will help you some other to win. This victory led to other victories. Instead of them being changed, they were the ones that did the changing. Instead of being influenced, they were the influence. And what, as we close, characterizes Daniel? What characterizes Daniel? Well, think about this first of all. He's a man of God's word. A man of God's word. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Same psalm also says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Paul writes to the Philippians that your love, he prays that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless. Where do you get to get knowledge and discernment from? Searching the scriptures. Set time aside for the scriptures. Many years ago, I can remember there were some strange practices, what we might consider strange practices, going on in certain churches and across the pond, if you like, but also it was coming into Great Britain. There were different videos. The old VHS were being passed around and we're being told, "Look at this." And I remember at the time saying to our pastor, at that time, Harry Thompson, I said, well, you see what's going on, should I be reading up on this, reading books and finding out more about this? And he just said to me, nope, don't do that. You study the truth. And that's what to do. Study the truth, and that will help you correct the errors. Study the scripture. Daniel was a man of God and a man of the word. Another thing that Daniel was, he was a man of prayer. Remember the old children's chorus? Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. You see it throughout the book of Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 18, actually we quoted from it a bit earlier, when he met with his friends to pray following the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. You actually see, why was he thrown in the den of lions? It was because he was caught praying to the true and the living God. Again, he refused to compromise. And then in Daniel chapter 9, you've got Daniel's prayer also. So Daniel was a man of the word and a man of prayer. Thirdly, Daniel was a man who worshipped. Because after, in chapter 2, when God reveals the meaning of the dream and the vision to Daniel, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons, he removes kings and sets up kings, and gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. If he reveals deep and hidden things, he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel was a man of the word, a man of prayer, and a man who yielded to God, who worshipped and served him. So let's remember these things then, as we've looked at the book of, well, not the book of Daniel, but the first chapter of Daniel this morning, and see the challenges that they faced, but the stand that they took, and the blessing and the honor that they received. And as we close this morning, let's just consider the words of the Apostle Paul from the book of Romans chapter 12. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. We're going to close by singing a chorus, an old chorus. I'm going to sing it through twice. Sing it prayerfully. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Let's rise and sing and worship the Lord together. Let's close in prayer. So Heavenly Father, help us to stand firm, dare to be a Daniel. Thank you for the scripture this morning. Help us to reflect on these things and to stand firm for you and for the truth of the gospel. Help us to be the kind of people you would have us to be, and may we be filled with your Spirit. Thank you. You do give strength, and you do honor your people, Heavenly Father. Help us to lean on you and trust in you in these days. Thank you. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to stand firm for you, Lord God. Thank you for this time in your presence, and Lord, may your grace, mercy, and peace rest on each and every one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.